Let's see if we're recording okay. We sure are. Can everybody hear me all right? Is the sound okay? It's not too loud, not too low? If it's too loud, let me know. I can change the speaker or something. All right, good. Well, how about, let's see, what time is it? I got to keep track because, you know, I forget. 11:32. Okay, so we're getting started a little late, but praise the Lord. You know, I'm blessed that we're able to be here to hold our service today. It's a little extra work to be here, but I thought, you know what? What better place than out in God's country, right? Out in the fresh air. I mean, it's very rare when we get to have a service out in the fresh air. You know, one of these Sundays, I think we're just going to drag a bunch of chairs out in the parking lot, and we're going to have our service there. Let me see here if I got some. All right. Well, how about if we open our service with prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for gathering us here, Lord. Though small in number, I know, God, that your word is going to be preached here today because you've given it to me to preach it. And Lord, I ask that you would hear my prayer for yours truly and the people that are present. Help us always to remember that you give us two options for our eternal life, Lord. And help us to make the right choices day by day in the right direction. Lord, I ask that you would take a hold of me and use me for your purposes. Give me unction to speak your words. Show us, Lord, your power over our souls. Deliver us from evil. And thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Keep us from taking them for granted. I ask, Lord, that you would pour your spirit upon everybody that's in this park today. Use my preaching in your might, Lord. Use my preaching not with enticing words of man's wisdom, that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but they would be in demonstration of your spirit and your power. Father, we thank you and we ask that you would change us, Lord, with your word today. Make us into fully committed servants. Help us to be all that you want us to be. Help us to set aside whatever it is that we want to be, Lord. Enable us to be faithful believers. Help us to honor you and to obey you no matter what. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Help us to deliver ourselves, Lord, to you for your use. Amen. So, you know, today I was thinking, with us doing this picnic here in the park, where we're holding this event called the Community Family Fun Day with a Purpose, where we're hoping to teach some prevention strategies and also the signs of addiction, and also, Lord willing, some recovery options for people that have gotten caught up in addiction. I thought, what better message than to bring a message on addiction? It might be a tough one for some people, but I got to tell you, folks, we've all got addictions. Every single one of us. We have habits, things that we do habitually. We're addicted to them. And sometimes those addictions drive us from within. We don't even think about them. We just do them. And I have to say, I'm addicted. That's right. I'm coming out. I'm an addict. What am I addicted to? Now, before you let your mind or the enemy get you thinking something, okay, hold on. Pump your brakes a little bit, all right? Slow it down. Before you get thinking negative, let me explain. It's not some juicy secret, all right? I have cravings that plague me every single day of my life. Every day. And I can't shake them, regardless of how hard I try. And I don't want to in some cases. Some of my addictions have control over me and I can't stop them. And I must, and I mean I must, indulge them every day. And so must you. Bear with me. What must I indulge in every day? What are these addictions? Well, first of all, what makes me frantic if I can't get it? What makes me frantic? Air. I must have air. I have to breathe. All of us need to breathe. And we're addicted to it. We quit breathing, what happens? We die, right? We don't get our air for the day, we're dead. Simple. And I know that's an oversimplification, but it really is something that we all must have. It's something that we can't get away from. And I have to say, I'm enslaved to breathing. I don't want to stop. I have a fondness for eating, too. Y'all get to see that when we get to the food. Okay? You can ask Chris, if I don't eat, I feel like I'm going to die. All right? Sometimes I feel like I'm going to die if I don't eat. And I got to eat now. I need to eat. I burned up all the calories I had available. And then I got to find myself some food. This is the kind of craving that people with addictions get. And it's why it's so important not to get into those things. It's why it's critical that we prevent the types of addictions that have negative consequences on the lives of people. Because they get to where it's like air. They can't live without it. They feel like they're going to die if they don't have it. This is why we have to work together. And I believe the body of Christ has a role in working together to overcome the problem of addiction in this land. I believe if the Holy Ghost would roll upon the church and wake the sleeping giant up, we'd be able to see a massive change in this land. You know, I broke that addiction to food a few years ago. God took me into a long fast. And now I know that I can live without food for a very long time. So on those times when food's not available, it doesn't shake me up. I know I can go without it. I can go without it for a whole day. I can go without it for 2 days. I can go without it for a week. I can go without it for 10 days. I can go without it for a month. God has led me there to teach me that I do not have to have food. It's not absolutely necessary that I eat every day. So I'm not entrapped. I'm not enslaved to food. It's an important place to be. I have another habit that I'll share with each of you. I'm in the habit of wearing clothes. Yeah, I know. It's a bad one, okay? But it's a habit. Every day I get up and I put on some clothes and I wear them throughout the day, and sometimes I have to change multiple times through the day depending on what role I'm. If I'm doing construction, then I'm wearing construction clothes. Then I might have to go and preach somewhere. Then I'll put on my preaching clothes. And then I have to go do something somewhere else and I'll change into something. I might change clothes 3 or 4 times a day. But I have to wear clothes. Can't get away from it. And so you see, we all have habits that serve us well. We've been designed by Almighty God to become addicted to things that keep us alive. It's part of our brain that says you must breathe, you must eat, you must have things to drink, you have to hydrate yourself. These are necessities. But unfortunately, with the drugs that have been designed in these chemical factories, they're now changing the brain. They're rewiring the brain of human beings. Our Almighty God created our brains so that they would operate exactly as they do. And these chemical companies have made these formulas to supercharge those parts of our brain that have that craving. And people get locked into it. And again, I believe the church has a role in breaking that. The enemy of souls has perverted our Creator's design. He's caused malfunction. Now, I'm not putting the blame on the devil, okay? If I pick up something illicit and I put it into my body and I become addicted to it, I am responsible for that. And I accept my responsibility. And each of us has to. But that doesn't stop us as the church from trying to help people who have found themselves in that situation, because Jesus said when you show compassion on others, you're actually showing it upon Him. And so each of us, as a part of the body of Christ, can take that message forward and share compassion. Give compassion to those people that are hurting. Give compassion to the people whose family members, the families are suffering. Those of you who are here who have family members that are locked in addiction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And those of you who have had family members who were locked in addiction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a horrible place to be. We're powerless. We can't do anything about it except to pray. Oh, now wait a minute. Let's take that for a moment. Let's go to the throne room of Almighty God in prayer. Let's take prayer to our Creator and beg His mercy upon those souls that have gotten locked into addiction. And I believe Almighty God will pour out His Spirit upon this land. And I believe we'll see a change. That perversion of the Creator's design is stealing health and killing souls and destroying everything that's good and godly in a man or a woman. Who steals, kills, and destroys? The enemy of souls. When you see the life being stolen from people, when you see people being robbed of their vitality, that's not God's design. God's design is like this grass, okay? Try to count those blades of grass. Just try. Just try. Take a square inch and try. Count the blades of grass. God is a God of abundance. He's not a God of lack. And He creates in a way that will produce more, not less. Now, the text that we're going to look at today offers us a glimpse into Christ's servants' habits, our addictions, if you will. And I believe that this message is going to help us see that not all habits are bad. In fact, there are some that the Bible commands. And those are the types of addictions that we need to be caught up in each and every day. So now, I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I did intend to bring some Bibles, but once again, it's one of those things that just slipped by. So I will read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've got my illuminated Bible here so I can see pretty good. And I didn't pull it up first. There we go. I'll begin at verse 1. I'm going to read through the chapter. I want you to get the full context of where we're at, okay? We find written there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." And I'm going to pause there for a moment. Anything that takes us out of sobriety takes us into darkness. It's an absolutely clear message right here. Outside of sobriety, we're walking in darkness. We must maintain our sobriety. And that isn't just from alcohol. We're talking about any substance that alters the human mind. And physiology, for that matter, when it comes to certain drugs, that's actually changing the wiring of the brain. "But let us who are of the day, once again, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which are laboring among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This is the first epistle written to the Thessalonians. It was written from Athens. Paul was on his missionary journey, and he wrote this to those people in Thessalonica. The beauty of God's Word is that it's inspired. It's inspired by our Creator, who guides His creation into His way, which is best. His way is absolutely best for all of us. The day of the Lord is a phrase that we use to describe Christ's coming. Jesus instructed His followers to remain watchful, and here Paul does the same thing. It's one of those habits that we're to get into, folks. It's one of those addictions that we can have that's not destructive. We can be watching for our Lord's return. And in fact, we are instructed to watch for our Lord's return. He taught that everybody who believes Him and everybody who follows Him must develop that deliberate habit of watching for His return. And why? Why? Why is this a good habit? Why is this something that we should do? It's a good habit. It keeps our minds on Him. Instead of on the things of the world, when we get distracted, when we get taken away by all of those things that try to take us away from thinking on Christ, we're focusing, He might come today. He might come right now. If we keep that mindset and we're really habitually focused on Christ may come at any moment, we're not going to be getting ourselves into trouble, folks, okay? We're not going to be doing anything that would displease our Lord and our Savior. He taught all to follow Him, and He taught all to watch for His return. We're bought with a price, as it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're not to defile our bodies. We're not to defile our spirit. And this is one of the problems with the addictions that are going on now. People are becoming defiled. They're defiled beyond recognition in some cases. And we need to pray for those people. We need to ask God's mercy. Your body and your spirit are not your own after committing to Christ. You were bought for a price, it says. Don't become anybody else's slaves. Think about these chemical companies. We call them pharmaceuticals. The Bible calls them sorcerers. Think about these chemical companies that are getting you enslaved to those substances that they make billions upon billions of dollars on. You hear that command against becoming enslaved. The Bible's full of do's and don'ts. We don't like to hear them anymore, it seems. And most people don't like to preach them either. Rebellious and the unbelieving refuse to accept them. But God says these are the things to do and these are the things not to do. He says, do, be sober. Do. This is a habitual way of living. And sadly, there's many people that become enslaved to those sorcery companies, those pharmaceuticals, those sorcerers. They get entrapped by those drugs that were designed to make people addicted. And I believe that, folks. I don't think it's an accident at all. Repeat business is repeat profits. That's the American way, right? I'm a capitalist. I love capitalism. But I don't like what it's doing to our country, folks, in this respect. I'll tell you. Our Creator designed the human brain to adapt to beneficial things, but those chemical sorcerers, they've enslaved people to the chemicals that literally rewire the brain. We have a remedy for this. Jesus Christ. Soul therapy. Oh, we can have all kinds of rehabs. We can have detoxes. But let me tell you, without God, It's meaningless. It's worthless. It's useless. We need Almighty God, our Creator, to step into that empty space that's inside of us that we're trying to fill with something else. We can overrun that rewiring. We can get rewired by Christ. Our text gives us habits. Habits that build up the body of Christ. It teaches sobriety very clearly. We must become addicted to remaining sober. We must become addicted to remaining clean, serene. We must encourage each other. We must strengthen each other. The Scripture teaches us to take care of those who labor in the Word, to teach us. Be habitual in this. It teaches us to warn anybody who's living unruly. And who is it that teaches, who defines what it is to be unruly? Almighty God. He gives us the definition of what it is to be unruly in His Word. He tells us, do not be unruly. And He tells yours truly to teach everybody else what He means by that. The Word says that we are to help everybody who's weak. We're to be patient with everybody. If they're weak, we're to comfort the feeble-minded. We're to support the weak. Cheer those up who are discouraged. Do that habitually. Help the people who are discouraged. Now, I know all of us know people who are discouraged. And there are people that are locked in addiction. They've given up. They've thrown up their hands. Parents throw up their hands. Grandparents throw up their hands. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just waiting for the funeral. I've heard so many people say that. We need to give hope to people. We have Jesus Christ. We can share Christ. We can give them hope. We can draw them to their Creator. They can find that place where they belong in the body. Help those who are struggling. These are healthy habits that each of us can develop. They're not destructive. And when we do them, it's the same as doing them under the Lord. There's a lot more habits of the servants of God found in that passage. Make sure nobody ever pays back one wrong with another wrong. Do that habitually. Somebody does you wrong, do something right for them. Give them the message. Be addicted to reversing the curse. Cain slew his brother. Let's love ours. That's what Jesus said. Love one another. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor. Try to do good what's best for each other and for others. Be addicted to doing good for everyone. Imagine that. If the whole body of Christ would put on a smile and do good for just one other man or other woman, imagine what would happen in this country. Imagine how this land would change. Oh my. Dear God, help us. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, we hear that we are to always be joyful. Joyful. How's that for a habit? Have a habit of being joyful, smiling, enjoying life. No matter what God lets happen, be joyful. He says so. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So be addicted to rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It blesses you when you bless God. You get a blessing. Pray without ceasing, it's written. Never stop praying. Pray constantly. Be addicted to praying. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, lift up a word to God. Dear God, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you. I'm going down the road. So I'm putting so many miles on every year. I'm looking at that odometer going, okay, we got 170,000 miles now. We started at 99 a few years ago. And every time I'm on the road, thank you, Lord, keep the tires full of air. I've had some blowouts in my time. I don't like what they do to the vehicle. Praise God. Give Him thanks. Talk to Him. He's your Creator. He wants to hear from you. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's what He says. He says it's His will that you be addicted to giving thanks for everything, in everything. Give Him thanks continually. Whatever happens, no matter what, give thanks. Because it's God's will in Christ Jesus that you give thanks. The attitude of gratitude blesses you as you express it. It places you in the will of God for you. You want to be in the center of the will of God? Give thanks in everything. Pouring rain, Lord, how are we going to have an event today? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's not what we want. But let's praise Him. Let's give Him thanks in everything. Get addicted to saying thank you to Almighty God no matter what. And that is the godly habit, the addiction that breaks strongholds. Trust me, folks, I'm talking from experience. Give thanks. I took a legal tablet one time, and I determined I was going to fill up a page with things that I could be grateful for. All right? And after the first three or four things, I started scratching my head. What am I to be thankful for? So I started thinking, what could I be thankful for? So I wrote a few more things, and then a few more, and then a few more. And before you know it, within a week, that whole tablet was full of all the things that I could be grateful for. And each of us can do that, to give thanks to our Creator. There are so many things that we can give thanks for. I'll give you an example. I was soaking in a hot tub of water, and I thought, oh, thank God I've got hot water. Then I thought, thank God I've got a tub to hold it in. And thank God there's pipes that are connected to that tub to bring the water in. And thank God for the water company that purifies the water to bring it to the house. And thank God I've got a water heater to heat it. And I started thinking of all the workers that do all the work to make that possible. I didn't take that for granted. I turned on that hot water, and I was given thanks, let me tell you. And when you think like that, you start smiling throughout the day when you start recognizing all the things that you can be thankful for. And it blesses you because it puts you in the center of God's will for your life. Get addicted to thanking Almighty God. In verse 19 there, we hear, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Well, what's all that other stuff got to do? Because right after all that, he says, do this and do this and do this and do that and do this. Then he says, quench not the Spirit. If you don't do those things, you're throwing water on the fire of the Holy Spirit. He can't burn in your life. You're quenching the Spirit of God. You've got to lift up your praises. You've got to give thanks. You've got to pray. You've got to do what God wants you to do. He wants you to be addicted to Him. Take your eyes off of everything else and place it on your Creator. You don't want to suppress the Holy Spirit. You don't want to stifle the Holy Spirit. Rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, these are a powerful arsenal that God gives His people. They're things that the servants of God are to be addicted to. They're positive things. They break destructive addictions. They draw us nearer to our Creator who's made us for His own pleasure. And then in verse 20 we hear, despise not prophesying. Don't despise what God has revealed. When you look in His Word and He tells you something and it cuts to the heart, thank Him for it. Don't despise it. Don't turn away from it. If you come under conviction by the preaching that God brings before you, don't curse God. Don't curse the preacher. Give Him thanks. Don't despise what you're hearing. Listen to what it is that God has for you. He still gives the gift of prophecy to true believers. His Word wouldn't say so if He didn't. Instead of despising the prophetic words, His Word tells us to test everything. Hold on to what is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Get addicted to doing what is right in God's sight. That's what all of us need to do. That's what the whole body of Christ needs to do. And finally, it's written in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When somebody becomes addicted to an illicit substance, somebody becomes addicted to the chemicals that these chemical factories are pumping out, what's on their mind? They're not thinking about these things. They're thinking about how they're going to get the next bit of that, whatever it is. And we need to help people find God's Word. We need to help people get into God's Word. We need to be able to teach God's Word. We need to be able to preach God's Word. We need to be able to bring people to their Creator who can change their mind from where it's at to where it's not at and it needs to be. God's Word tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I believe, because that's where the battleground is, I believe that the body of Christ has the answer through Jesus Christ to change minds, to transform minds, to break those strongholds, to get through whatever it is that's causing this death and destruction across this land. We have a role in this, folks. People have asked me, why do you think the church should do something about the heroin epidemic? I said, who's better equipped? This is a spiritual war. The souls of the people are being stolen. We're supposed to go out and collect those souls. Jesus Christ bought and paid for them, and our job is to make sure that he gets what he bought and paid for. Who's better equipped to do it than the people of Almighty God? The last part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us that getting addicted to those things that are listed there brings complete satisfaction. You think for a moment, anybody here has ever had an addiction, do you think for a moment you ever get enough of that addiction? Are you ever completely satisfied? I haven't stopped breathing yet. I'm not satisfied, okay? I need to breathe today. And I'll be eating today, too. I know we got a lot of good food. And all you folks that are working, if anybody's hungry, you come and join us. I know we got enough here, okay? Please, yes, please, come over. We'll feed you. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 is going to be my benediction. The very God of peace sanctify you completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that in his mighty and magnificent name. And all of God's people said, amen. You know, we do have a lot of things to praise God for. I want us to keep that in mind. I really want us to think about this, folks. Take this message home in your heart and live it. Pray continually. Give thanks. Give praise. Live joyously. Recognize that God is good. And all the people said, amen.